Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas. Play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 and AM 760 in Hawaii. I'm joined as always by G. Hay Wiley, Armani Buckets, Brandon Deutsch. How are we doing?
I am awesome, but I'm really ready for this heat wave to be done. Oh, I know that, Armand, you are loving this and you go in the ocean every single day, but I can't. I can't anymore. I'm done. I want 60 degrees back. I'm done. I'm not good with this weather.
Yeah, it's too hot. It's too hot in LA. We'll see what happens.
And this is in the beaches too, by the way. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine people that live inland, you know, that live in actual LA weather where it's like over 100 degrees right now.
Actual LA, I agree with you, but I'm offended by that because now watch what's going to happen. Friday is going to be rainy and it's going to be gloomy and it's going to be hot. So it's going to be even more miserable.
I'm fine with that. We need the rain.
It's going to be like 85, but raining.
Like God is in the rain, guys. I am very okay with that. Like, bring it on. Bring on the rain. I'm very okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with being by the beach is the majority of the places here, GK, don't have air conditioning. My place doesn't have air conditioning.
Same.
It's like a sauna. I mean, literally at night, it's like trying to sleep inside of a sauna. So listen, it's been fun, right? But like let's get back to cooler temperatures or something where it's not going to be 100 degrees. That's not fun. All right, listen, we have a lot to get to today as we get towards the beginning of the National Football League season, but a lot of drama here in Los Angeles, or perhaps not that much drama as we thought that there could be. So let's get to today's headlines brought to you by Circa Sports. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contests are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Visit CircaSports.com for details. Hit it, G-Hay.
Well, speaking of drama, Patrick Beverley had his introductory press conference with the Lakers, and it included a handshake with new teammate and bestie Russell Westbrook, along with a photo of them smiling mid-conversation. Do you guys think this dynamic can work and actually be successful for the Lakers?
So this was very curious. By the way, like, the press conference, in my view, kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, the deal happened, what was it, 2 weeks ago? The trade goes down, and then they have this press conference where Pat Bev is working out. Russell Westbrook, to his credit, has shown up for basically every big offseason thing. The hiring of Coach Darvin Ham, the press conference for Pat Bev. Russell Westbrook has been there. I mean, to his credit, guys, he's done everything right. And so how will this all play out? Listen, they played nice. they, you know, they, what, they shook hands, they hugged, did they said all the right things. I think Russ saw Pat Bev sweating, so he passed him a towel, and Pat Bev said the first dime of the year or something. So listen, they're doing and saying all the right things behind closed doors, from what I've been told. The Lakers are still pursuing a trade. Where they're at with that is they're not going to mortgage their future to make that trade happen. Will they part with one first round pick? Yes. Two? No, not right now. So we may be looking at a situation where it's not a total run back. This idea that they're going to run it back, well, that's not entirely true, right? They got Pat Bev. And what Pat does, forget about the numbers, forget about the stats, he changes the culture of a team. And you're talking about a team with LeBron James and D'Anthony Davis, but I love what Pat Bev said, because he said, you are joining this team. No, they're joining me. I'm the one who made it to the playoffs. That's a little ridiculous, obviously, because the Lakers won a championship 2 years ago while Pat Bev celebrated as if he won a championship for winning a play-in game. But for the guy in me that loves soap operas, that loves drama, that loves intrigue, this is a very fascinating team right now.
100%. I actually think it's inclined to work out more than people think. I think just by Pat Beverly's addition, the Lakers are a top seven seed. Everywhere he goes, he wins. They're going to be in the playoffs, not just the play-in. I truly believe that. Even in a tough Western Conference, I think the Timberwolves are a bit overrated. I know Edwards is going to break out, but I don't think they're that as good as people say. And who knows with the Pelicans when it pertains to health, like, is Zion going to be healthy? But I guess you could say the same thing about the Lakers. I truly believe this is the year that we see Anthony Davis play 60 games plus. I really do. I don't think he misses more than 20. And I do think LeBron is going to have a similar season where he's, you know, 25-10 versus 33-5. You know, he's going to have to pass the ball more, get Davis involved. They have a good team. People always say, they were very limited with their resources financially because of their constraints to the Westbrook contract. And yes, you're trading Westbrook at an all-time low if you trade him. Like, I do think Westbrook, yes, he doesn't fit with LeBron on the court. Everyone knows that. He's gotten worse. Everyone knows he can't shoot. But I do think he's poised for a comeback season.
With all due respect, I could not disagree more. And I've been waiting to do this, and this is the perfect time. The Western Conference, as it stands right now, we already know that Utah and San Antonio are tanking. We know that Houston and Oklahoma City are more than likely going to be tanking. That's four out of the 15 teams that are basically tanking, right? They're not even trying. So that means you have 11 teams fighting for 10 playoff spots, play-in and playoff. If the Lakers are the one team out of that 11 that misses the play-in, playoffs, this is the worst season in Lakers history, and I'm not trying to
worse
get
than
all
last year.
I'm not trying to get all Armageddon, but yes, it would be worse than last year because you have four teams starting the season tanking. So that means there's 11 teams fighting for 10 spots. If you're the odd man out, you literally, it's shame on you. I mean, and at that point, I think everybody would be gone. And I look at this roster, it's terrible. And I have a question to ask you, Arash. If Anthony Davis, let's say he doesn't play in 20 games, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I would assume
that's basically what will likely happen if you look at, yeah.
What is their record in those 20 games? LeBron and a bunch of, you know, young guys that
12-8.
Ugh. I was going to say 10-10 if LeBron, you know, kind of does what he's supposed to do.
Let's flip it the other way around. Yeah. LeBron misses 15. Well, that's what's the record problem in those 15? Those are the
not
games,
good. Yeah,
so, those are the games that I'm worried about because when you're fighting for playoff positioning, the good teams, they have an infrastructure that they can still look at Memphis last
that
year.
Was John
Morant goes down and they went 20-2 without him.
That was incredible.
What are the Lakers going to be when the inevitable LeBron or AD, even if it's just for rest, what's going to happen to the record? Probably gonna go, and that's not even including when they're both playing.
Yeah,
who knows what they're gonna be when they're
here's both playing. Here's why last season will forever be, for the foreseeable future, the most disappointing season in Lakers history, because they began the season with the Nets. And so, by the way, the fact that these top two co-favorites both did a terrible job, did not win a single playoff game again. The Lakers didn't even advance to the play-in game. That was the preseason expectation, was they were going to win a championship or at least get back to the finals. No one's expecting a ton from this team. And if they basically run back this core group, the common perception is what you're saying, like, oh my God, this is going to be a train wreck. So no one's really thinking that this team has a chance to have a deep run. I do think, to your point, there is enough teams tanking that the Lakers will find a way into this play-in game or the playoff. You really have to. And the tanking, is it because of the perspective in the number one pick?
Yes.
Touch on that for the people who don't know. I mean, you are getting a transcendent talent. Again, these kind of guys only can, you know, you got LeBron and guys like that. Who's the number one pick?
So it's Victor Wembanyama. And yesterday it came out that he has an 8-foot wingspan. And that was just one of the many great characteristics about his game. And then you have Scoot Henderson, who's built like Russell Westbrook. He's going to be number two pick. So you have teams like Utah, San Antonio that have already decided we're not going to try this season. And then you have teams like Oklahoma City that has the Chet Holmgren injury. They're probably not going to try very hard this season. And Houston is so young that they're not going to try hard this season. They're all going to be racing to the bottom, which again, four teams from the jump. I don't remember a season like that where they're just like, all right, we're not really
all in the Western Conference,
and they're all in the West. So that means 11 teams fighting for 10 spots. If you're the 11th man and you're out of that.
Hey, and by the way, something's going to happen to the Kings. It always does. As good as Keegan Murray is and De'Aaron Fox after the trade, where he's having 30 points per game, something's going to happen to them. They're going to fail. The Lakers are going to be better than them.
By the way, this reminds me of why the NBA is not the best product out there. And I'm not knocking, I'm not hating on everybody that's in the NBA. I think obviously you're there for a reason, right? You're there because you are the best of the best. But this is why the NBA in and of itself, the organization is not a great product, because you have four teams in one conference blatantly tanking so that way they can get these picks. Like, you're going to alienate your audience. You're going to sit there and be like, your audience is going to be like, well, why would I buy a ticket? Why am I going to buy NBA TV or whatever?
By the way, the league is very sensitive to this, and there's no doubt behind closed doors that they're having conversations with teams saying, listen, we know who the first pick in the draft is. This cannot be blatant, and if it is blatant, we're going to take actions. Now, what that exactly means, whether it's fines, you really have to watch out.
I agree, but this is like unprecedented, where they're starting a season tanking. Usually it happens, maybe it happens early in the season, but I can't remember a scenario where teams are actively going into a new season and doing that. So yes, I agree with you though. It does. I mean, if you're a Spurs or Jazz fan, why would you go to a game? And by the way, the Spurs, I don't know if you saw, Arash, they're having a game at the Alamo Dome, which is, they're trying to set an attendance record. And that game is going to be in like January or February. And they're going to have like three wins, and they're trying to get like, what, 70,000 people to go watch this game.
Why would this team, would they try to do that? I mean, because that stadium was built back when they had Tim Duncan and Tony Parker. Like, why would this now for the first time ever, they got like a really bad team that's not even in playoff contention for the first time in 20 years, 20 and plus years, and now they try to do that.
Now, it doesn't make any
sense.
Makes
no sense.
They're doing it, I believe, against Golden State, so it's not even
that's the draw,
it's the draw, but still, it's like, if you're going to tank, you're right, Jihei. Why would you go want to watch that team? It's bad for product.
It may work in a place like San Antonio where there's not a ton to do in terms of there's no other pro team there, but you can't have a situation where at the beginning of the season, to your point, if you get to mid-season, if you get a couple of months in and it's like, listen, we're not going anywhere, but I mean, if it's training camp, if it's preseason, you're trying to sell season tickets and no one's coming out, that's bad. But
I was just going to add one more thing. When we talk about the draft, we have to remember there's one guy who's getting slept on. He's right here. You can go watch him at UCLA. That's Amari Bailey. Now, he's falling in the draft like 15, 20, 25. But this is a top five player in this draft. He was ready to play in the NBA as a junior in high school. I think people don't realize that. Could have put up 15 points per game as a junior in high school when he was at Sierra Canyon. This is a guy that is really, I think, has the third highest upside in this draft besides Wembanyama and Scoot Henderson, and GMs are going to lose their job for passing on Amari Bailey. Just watch him at UCLA this year.
Yeah. Well, moving on, This is the Arash Markazi show, and you know all we do is talk Lakers. So the Lakers
come on, Pat Bev, that was the drama. I mean,
what,
by
do you
the
want
way,
us to talk about a team with zero rings.
This is why we need to get out there for these practices, because you guys follow social. Like every one of these Pat Bev like little tweet vids or tweet videos got like over like a million. Like everyone's fascinated by this. Yeah. I mean, the drama of a handshake. Our boy Yovan did a clip. It was literally Pat Bev walking into the press conference room, shaking hands with Russell Westbrook, and it's doing like 2 million views or something.
And
it's,
so many people analyzing, was
well, yeah.
it was it
Did
real?
They look at
was
each
it
other's
genuine?
Eyes? like why was he there? I mean, listen, this is the beginning of what I love. What you don't want to have happen is a 500 team. What you want to have happen is either a championship contender or a train wreck. And I'm fine with either one.
I mean, as a Laker fan, are you fine with a train wreck, though?
I mean, the train
that was
wreck
great.
Is
Happened
fun.
Last year. We're used to it.
The
We're
train wreck is fun.
Used now, to it. It's 1 year.
I love when Westbrook just gets the ball and is booed. And I want him to go off for like 50 points one game. That'd be great.
Yeah. I mean, here's why the train wreck is fun is because, like, every little thing gets nitpicked. Every little tweet, every like of an Instagram post or a tweet or whatever. You know, my favorite train wreck was the Kobe Dwight Howard train wreck. Because every little tidbit, you know, I mean, because Kobe truly, you know, and they were, thankfully, they were fine at the end. Oh my God. That, yeah, the picture in the training room were like Mike D'Antoni. I mean, it was such a train wreck that Mike D'Antoni got hurt at some point. He's on the trainer's table. And
about,
Dwight
about,
and Kobe are pretending
what about
to hate
the,
each other.
The picture when they were hyping the team last year with Westbrook, LeBron,
oh my,
Davis,
of course.
And then Lake Show Yo on
the
Twitter,
media day.
Like, who's beating this team in a 7-game series? And he now reposted it with Patrick Beverley.
Oh, God.
This must have been a joke. He's like, who's beating this team in a 7-game series?
It's,
like, come on,
it's crazy.
Anyways. I mean, I feel like that's just automatic clickbait for all of you guys to just sit there and be like, let's like this, let's comment on
oh,
this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
It's
whatever.
Like a Brandon Deutsch TikTok. You gotta hop in there. You yep. gotta say whether it's good or bad. You know, whether it's good or bad, you gotta chime in.
Exactly.
You gotta like it. You gotta engage. Let's go.
Yeah.
Well, I want to go to a team that's actually winning. Let's skip this team that's tank. That's, I don't want to say tanking.
I do like this. G hate. she placed her producer hat on and said she's skipping the Lakers headline.
I am.
And going into the Dodgers.
So the Dodgers beat the Giants 6-3, and Max Muncy hit 2 home runs, something we're not accustomed to seeing this year. Joey Gallo also hit a 3-run home run.
I love Joey. I told you Joey Gallo would be good.
And the Dodgers cruised to their 93rd win as Tyler Anderson pitched 7 strong innings. Guys, how many games will the Dodgers win, and will it translate to postseason success?
I'm just going to say 110. I'm just going to throw that number out there. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason behind that. But, Brandon, we touched on this. I'm fascinated by the Joey Gallo thing for 2 things. Now, not only this, it's good to see him once again have success. Las Vegas product, went to New York, was one of the best players in the league in Texas, goes to New York, absolute train wreck. But 2 things have happened. He's played extremely well. The Dodgers have played extremely
Muncy,
well.
All of a
but
sudden.
Brandon, the New York Yankees, if you look at the trajectory.
I told you.
Great collapses in sports history.
This is going to be one of the biggest collapses in sports history. Now, Grant and I watched the Yankees lose to the Angels in a series last week, the beginning of last week, and we told all the Yankees fans leaving the stadium. They were always, every time a Yankee came up, oh, let's go Yankees. And we're making fun of them saying, dude, the Rays are winning the AL East. At the time, they were 7 games back. Now they're 5. They have another head-to-head. And then the Yankees have to go play the Blue Jays, who are vying for playoff contention. I mean, if they didn't have Aaron Judge, they'd be one of the worst teams in the league. No one can hit on that team besides Aaron Judge right now.
Quick question for you. You know how there's the saying, Mets are going to Met?
Oh, yeah.
Are we going to, are we now saying like Yankees are going to, like, what can we say?
You would
to
say
that?
If they were to collapse, they would have 2 of the all time greatest collapse in baseball history. The 3-0 blown series lead against Boston. And this, what were they up? 16 games? Like, what was their lead?
16 games.
That's up.
And they're going to implode. I mean, this is going to go down as like, talk about the biggest chokes of all time. Then Grant Mona on TikTok usually says this, but the Yankees blowing a 3-0 lead to the Red Sox. I mean, this is close to being as bad. Blowing a 15-game lead when you're that good. Jeez, this is going to be hilarious. But the Dodgers, by the way, they have to be the favorite to win the World Series, right? I mean, I know they don't have pitching to the extent the Mets do, starting-wise, but they're getting Blake
Kreiden
back.
What's up with Max Scherzer? He's on the injured reserve list.
He's like 40 years old, but it's like, who cares?
Well, would they be saving him?
Yeah,
What I mean? Like, I would assume they're just saving him.
They don't need him.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
But the Mets are now, talk about implosions. Now the Braves are going to win the division. They're tied pretty much, so.
I just want that Dodgers parade that we will rob. I don't think we'll get one from the Lakers, unfortunately. And by the way, someone had this post, and I knew this. They won the championship in Florida less than 2 years ago. We're coming up on the two-year mark. Only two players remain from that team. Of course, we know who they are, LeBron and AD. Like, I'm not saying that they had to keep that exact core together, but you look at Kyle Kuzma and Caruso and KCP and all these, like, really good role players that were not, like, gold. They were not on bad contracts. Just an absolute joke that that championship team was torn down so quickly.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean,
you see how I turned it into a
little. I know.
You want to say, oh, stop talking about the Lakers. Everyone wants to hear about the Lakers. There's a reason why.
There was literally on TBS or TNT, yeah, during the playoffs, there were multiple analysts and announcers on there saying, can we please stop talking about the Lakers?
You got to play the hits.
I have a question for you, Arash. Yeah. If this does go south, right? We know what we watch. Legacy, the Hulu.
Very well done.
We know how much this franchise means to Jeannie. Do you see any scenario where she feels so much pressure and feels so much maybe disdain, self-disdain for where the direction of the franchise is going that she actually considers potentially selling?
My view, no. It is her father's dream for that team to be within that family. It's a unique situation because if that team were to be sold, I would say upwards of $6 billion. I mean, it is right up there when you talk about the Cowboys, the Yankees, the Lakers. It's in that five. So, I mean, they would... $6 billion, $7 billion, I'm not sure. My guess is she would not sell. I mean, she would maybe have to be pressured to sell, but they've done such a good job with that Hulu documentary. I encourage you all to watch that if you have not. But yeah, when we come back, by the way, we will be joined by Grant Mona, and I know all you guys guys and girls have questions about your fantasy football leagues. We will be here to answer when we come back with the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back. With $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas, play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Fan in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 and AM 760 in Hawaii. Just as a reminder, if you have a question or a comment or just want to win tickets to an upcoming game in Southern California, Las Vegas, or Hawaii, call our hotline 310-400-0340. All right, let's go out to the Circa Sports Guest Hotline right now. Circa Millions and Circa Survivor Pro Football Contest with $12 million in guaranteed prizes are back. Visit CircaSports.com for details. And here he is, our main man, Grant Mona. Grant, how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm trying to get through this heat wave. I hope everyone is trying to keep their energy down. I know we're getting a lot of alerts right now, yeah, but trying to keep that AC on as much as possible right now.
Yeah, it's been brutal. Grant, we are right at the cusp of the beginning of the National Football League season. And as you know, that means one thing and one thing only: fantasy football draft time.
Let's go.
Give me some background here. When is your draft? How pumped are you? How optimistic are you that your team will succeed?
Well, I'm actually in three leagues. This is the first time I've done three leagues. I did two last year, so I think I'm just going to keep going up until it's like 10 leagues a year. So I've already had two drafts. There's actually one tonight. Me and Brandon are actually in that one. It's going to be pretty fun. But I'm really happy with my first two drafts. I got Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes in each one of those. So I'm pretty excited for it. But yeah, I've had two drafts and one coming up. So I have three leagues. I have my work cut out for me this year.
Yeah, Grant, I wanted to ask you, speaking of Justin Herbert, I personally think he's going to finish as the QB2 only because Josh Allen runs so much and he can pass and he's so elite. He might even finish as QB1. I think Justin Herbert could get close to 50 touchdowns this year, between 40 and 50, I think he gets. How high are you on Herbert this year?
Oh, I'm very high on Justin Herbert, and I think we're going to see a kind of a progression from Justin Herbert this year in terms of his maturity. The first 2 years of his career, it's kind of been, flash and this is what I got, air out the deep ball. But I think this year it's going to be more methodical. I think that offense is going to they're not going to dial it back, but they're going to be a lot more methodical in terms of what they can do on that side of the ball. I mean, another thing is that they have to stay healthy. But if Justin Herbert's healthy, I like you said, I expect him to throw at least 40 touchdowns. I think he'll be that good. I think he'll be one of the top two MVP candidates this year. I think that the Chargers are going to win the division. I think he's a big reason why. And that's kind of why I picked him in my fantasy draft, is because, I had the option to go get somebody else. But I feel that with Herbert's legs, with his arm ability, and with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen going vertically down that sideline, I think that he's going to have an amazing year. So, yeah, I think Justin Herbert's an absolute lock for anybody as a QB1, even QB2. I know you said Josh Allen, but I think Justin Herbert and Josh Allen are 1A and 1B, in my opinion.
Yeah, and Grant, I wanted to ask you about the talented wide receivers that you think are sleepers this year in the mid-rounds. I'm personally very high on, Gabe Davis and Amon-Ra St. Brown. I've watched Hard Knocks. I think Amon-Ra is built for, like, the WR1. I mean, he's going to have a huge year. Same with Gabe Davis. I think he might take over for Diggs. Maybe not that far, but I think he's going to have an amazing season that definitely challenges Diggs. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I know the middle round, the thing that I've been trying to tell everybody this year is that there's so much depth in this league this year, where you can get guys like AJ Brown from the Eagles might drop a little bit. I know a lot of people are high on him. I'm not as high on him, so if you can get him in the middle rounds, that's actually a steal. But another guy that's kind of going under the radar, and it's not really under the radar in Southern California, but it's under the radar across the nation, is Allen Robinson. And I picked up Allen Robinson in the middle rounds, like you said. And Allen Robinson, I think, is going to have one of his best years of his career, just because you're going to have a lot of attention on Cooper Kupp. Allen Robinson can go up and get the ball. He's one of the best high ball catchers. Stafford can throw it up there and get it to him. And I just think a lot of the attention is going to be on Kupp, and that's going to leave Allen Robinson one-on-one in a lot of situations. And you're going to get a lot of fantasy points out of him, especially in those middle rounds. And like you said, Amon-Ra St. Brown, I'm very high on the Lions. I know that Jared Goff isn't a fan favorite by a lot of people, especially here in Los Angeles. But, I think that the Lions are going to have a pretty good year this year. And I think Amon-Ra St. Brown has that WR1, and he kind of have a breakout year and kind of establish himself in this league as one of the top receivers, because I really do think he has that ability. I think that he's better than Drake London. I know there's a couple USC guys, but I do think that he's better than Drake London, in my opinion, at this point. I think I need to see a little bit more of Drake London, more explosiveness. I think Drake London has to get a little bit quicker, but I do think that Amon-Ra St. Brown can provide a lot more value than Drake London.
First of all, I want to just put mad respect down on you, Grant, for joining three teams, because I'm only doing two this year, doing two fantasy leagues this year. And I almost did three, and I'm so glad that they dropped me, because that is aggressive. Three is a lot. So God bless you, man. I want to go to the running back position. With so many running backs coming back from injury and so many actually out, and that's also a 3 year and out kind of a position, who are you high on as far as picking for fantasy at that running back position?
I'm actually very high on I'm actually on a few people, but I'm high on the Packers running backs, just because I think that the Packers are going to utilize the run game, and they've already said that A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones are going to split touches. And last year, A.J. Dillon was actually really, really good. He was actually one of the best running backs in the league in the second half of that year when Aaron Jones went down. And Aaron Jones has shown that he can be a pass-catching back. He's shown that, you know, he can run from the line of scrimmage as well. So I think those Packers running backs, not just that, but they're going to, you know, the Packers lost Davante Adams. Their receiving core is very shaky. You don't know how that receiving core is going to go. And those two guys are probably going to get a lot of production. They're going to get a lot of touches. They're going to get a lot of looks because, you know, they're probably going to need to get the offense going on the ground before it gets going in the air. And I know that Aaron Rodgers is the two-time reigning MVP, but I think that they're going to utilize the run game a lot more. And you're going to get a lot of points out of those two running backs, whichever one you go with. And another guy, I think DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift's kind of a late first-round guy. I picked him up, and I think that he's going to have another great year. You know, obviously, the Lions' offensive line has to do a little bit better of a job, but his talent alone is going to take him to where, you know, you'll get 10 to 15 fantasy points out of him, you know, a week. It's not going to be anything crazy, but you're going to get some pretty good value out of him, and I think that he's going to be a core integral part of that offense.
Yeah, Grant, I wanted to ask you now about Javonte Williams, because you talked about how the Packers' backs are going to have great year, even though they're splitting touches. But Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon, this has been a huge conversation. Williams, obviously, is the lead back, and he could be the next Jonathan Taylor, a lot of people say. Where do you see him getting picked? Where would you pick him this year, despite Melvin Gordon also getting some touches?
I think Javonte Williams is going to go pretty high in a lot of drafts, and for that reason that you just said. I think Melvin Gordon, you know, they've said that they're going to split touches, and I really don't believe that. I think that Javonte Williams is going to get a majority of the touches, and he's going to get a majority of the time there. He's such a physical back that I'd take him over Melvin Gordon anyway. I had Melvin Gordon last year, and while he was good at times, he had some shortcomings there. I mean, I think that Javonte Williams is a much more explosive back, and I think they're going to incorporate him a lot more. You know, I think that Melvin Gordon's on the tail end of his career, and, you know, he can provide value for some teams, but for that Broncos offense, I think they need a bona fide guy, and Javonte Williams is definitely that guy. I think he's not going to go, you know, first couple rounds. I think he's more of a middle rounds guy, you know, kind of like I said with Amon-Ra St. Brown. You can get him in kind of that area, that round timing. But, you know, I just think that Javonte Williams will have the RB1 moniker by the end of the year. I think that, you know, as you go towards the playoffs, Javonte Williams is probably going to be one of your top RBs, in my opinion. And that Broncos offense is going to be a lot better. They have Russell Wilson. They have a great offensive line. You know, and the reason for Javonte Williams is that, you know, that wide receiving core, it has a lot to prove. So if it doesn't prove itself, you know, I know they do have Cortland Sutton. They have Jerry Jeudy. But I think that wide receiving core has to prove themselves. And that allows a lot of touches, a lot of time for Javonte Williams to break out.
Yeah, and Grant, next question I wanted to ask you. Brandon Ayuk, I know we talk about the Niners, and a lot of times it's easy to stay away from them because, you know, they got so many weapons on the offensive end, and we don't know about Trey Lance yet. But do you think this is the year that Brandon Ayuk, you know, breaks out, not to the extent of Deebo Samuel, but at least has a really good season? Because he disappointed a lot of fantasy players last year.
Yeah, I do. And I think it's the reason for it is because I'm so high on Trey Lance. And, you know, I think that's a pretty touchy subject right now. Brandon, you can attest to that because of the Jimmy G backup signing. But I do have a lot of faith in Trey Lance that he'll be a really good player for the 49ers. And, you know, Brandon Ayuk last year, I believe he was still the WR1. I know Deebo Samuel is so good, but he was kind of used as a running back / receiver. So Brandon Ayuk was that guy you can go to get, you know, Jimmy G threw the ball short. We know that. That's why Brandon Ayuk wasn't a great play in fantasy. But I think this year they're going to have him go more vertical. He's got great hands. We all know that. You know, Danny Gray, him, and Deebo Samuel is a pretty good wide receiving core for the Niners. And with Trey Lance, you know, it seems like they want to throw the deep ball a lot more. We saw that in the preseason. And there's a lot of question marks about Trey Lance's, you know, footwork and his ability to read defenses. But one thing that's not question is his ability to throw the football deep. And I think that they're going to get Brandon Ayuk involved a lot more. I think they're going to use Deebo Samuel again in that RB1, wide receiver one kind of role. But I do think that Brandon Ayuk's going to have a way better year in fantasy just because of the quarterback they have. He's much more dynamic. He can get the ball down the field a lot more. And, you know, whether it's Jimmy G or Trey Lance, I do think that Brandon Ayuk's going to have a way better year this year.
Do you think, Grant, do you think that Ayuk will actually have that year because of what has been going on kind of in that Niners organization? You Lance was supposed to be the guy, right? And now you have Jimmy G just signing back for that year. There's kind of a little bit of turmoil in that locker room because Jimmy G was nowhere to be found, right? He was off in on the side when it came to practice. He wasn't, you know, getting reps with these guys, and Trey was going to be the guy. So do you think that maybe that is going to have a little bit of altering as far as fantasy is concerned?
I don't really think so, because I think that with the 49ers situation, it's kind of a win-win. You go in there with Trey Lance, you say, okay, this guy's got a lot of arm talent. We know that. We picked him third for a reason. And Brandon Ayuk, I think, is going to benefit from either one of them, because, you know, last year, Brandon Ayuk was more of a guy that they used as a decoy for Deebo Samuel. Yeah, he ran some outs, he ran some slants. He was kind of a short game guy. This year, they're going to try to get him downfield. And even with Jimmy G, I think he's going to be way more incorporated in the offense, because last year, IU kind of proved that, hey, I can be a mainstay in this offense. And he was one of the core reasons why that passing game was pretty good with Jimmy G, and why Jimmy G was kind of all right. A lot of people give Jimmy G a lot of a bad credit, but I think that Jimmy G did pretty well because of Brandon Ayuk. You can run him out there. He's very tall. He's very physical. And Brandon Ayuk this year, with Trey Lance, he's going to be amazing, I think. But even with Jimmy G, he's going to give you great production, even if you get him later in the round.
Yeah, and Grant, the next question I have for you is the defenses. A lot of people wait, and I think they should, to the last couple of rounds to take a defense and kicker. But who are your top five defenses you have this season?
I mean, I'm going to have the Bills going. I'm a big proponent of taking my defenses early, so I took the Bills defense pretty early. I took the Bills defense, and then, you know, I was going to take the Saints, and obviously the Saints are really good. But a team that's like kind of going under the radar that I don't really see as, you know, I see as kind of a top defense is the Chargers and the Rams, because the Chargers, J.C. Jackson's going to be out week one. I know that. But if you take the Chargers defense, they got Khalil Mack. They have Joey Bosa. They have a pretty good secondary now. And I see, you know, in my couple drafts that I've done already, the Chargers were one of the last picks, and if not even picked at all. And the Rams as well. And the Rams, they got Bobby Wagner. They have Jalen Ramsey back. Their secondary, they got Durant. They drafted Durant. And I know there's a big thing on Twitter right now that's Kevin Durant's cousin, but it is not. I don't think so. But yeah, they got Durant, who I think is going to be very good for them. They're bringing back Jordan Poehler. You know, they have obviously Aaron Donald. Yes, they lose Von Miller, but that defense is still very good. And you still have Raheem Morris as your defensive coordinator. And I've seen the Rams and the Chargers defenses not even drafted at all. And I'm kind of confused by that. But yeah, obviously at the top, you're going to have some of the top ones. I even think the Ravens defense is going to be a lot better. But yes, in terms of sleeper defenses, yeah, look at the Rams and the Chargers. I mean, I don't know why people are sleeping on those two defenses, because obviously you have the Bills and the Saints at the top, and even the Packers could be a good defense. I know they lost to Darius Smith, but I still think that I like their secondary as well. So, yeah, I'd keep an eye on the Rams and Chargers in terms of defense, but the Bills and the Saints are my top ones for now.
Grant, I could not agree even more with you than I already do with my Clipper fan, Grant, over here with with Chargers. Man, that Chargers D, it's looking better and better as the year, I think, is going to go on. Obviously, injuries are going to come into play. And that's just with anybody, right, throughout the league. But how early do you suggest taking these defenses? Because I'm with Brandon. I take it pretty late, right? Like, I'm not taking my defense, like, you know, in the middle. I'm taking it pretty much, like, on the lower end. So how early did you take your defense?
No, I understand that. I'm not taking the middle rounds because you can still get a lot of value. You can get guys like Juju Smith-Schuster in the middle rounds, which is, like, way better than what a Bills or Saints defense can give you. But how I see it is that, if you have a really good defense, you kind of also got to look at the strength of schedule. I know that, you know, the Chargers have a pretty tough schedule. The Bills will probably have an easier schedule than the Chargers, so I should probably take them. But you got to understand that some of these defenses, especially at the top, they can give you like flex player type numbers. Because, you know, I looked at the Bills game log last year, and they had a few games where they had 20, 15 fantasy points where it's like, okay, my flex and my tight end didn't even give me that, but the Bills defense did. That's how good it is. So I wouldn't say middle rounds, but I'd say like earlier than most. So if you see like some guys that you don't really recognize, and everyone has those times at the end of the rounds where you're like, I don't know who these guys are, look at some defenses, because these defenses can provide like flex, even kicker type numbers for you, where it's like 10 to 15, not a game, but even a breakout 20 game where they get a couple interceptions, a lot of sacks, especially those top defenses. And like I said, those sleeper defenses like the Chargers and Rams.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Grant, I wanted to ask you one more question, and it's about sleepers at the very end of the draft. Do we like George Pickens, like what everyone's been saying? Do we like Treylon Burks, who's now replaced A.J. Brown in Tennessee? I know people aren't too high on Ryan Tannehill. Or do you like somebody else that's not being talked about?
No, another guy that's not being talked about is Chris Olave from the Saints. That guy is going to be very good. And I think Jameis Winston this year is going to have a really good year. A lot of people are sleeping on the Saints' offense. A lot of people are talking about their defense, but that team can legitimately compete with win the division, but they can give the Bucs a hard time in that division, I think, in my opinion, just because of that defense. But Chris Olave on the offensive end, he's very explosive. And another guy that I want to mention is Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts is probably going to go middle rounds, maybe even late rounds, because people are kind of using, they think, oh, he's a rookie, he's not going to get a lot of looks, they're probably not going to utilize him a lot as much as, Mariota wants, but Kyle Pitts can be like wide receiver value almost. And I think that you can get him mid to late rounds to where it's a very high value pick because he can put up wide receiver. They're going to use him vertically, kind of like Gronk did early in his career, where they can just run him on a slant or on a post deep down the field and use him like a wide receiver. But you'll get that value at the tight end spot. But yeah, in terms of late picks, I like a Tony Pollard maybe, because he's going to catch a lot of passes. We don't know about Zeke Elliott's health situation. We don't know if he's going to stay healthy, if his production is going to be the same as his rookie year in the second year. So look for guys like Tony Pollard, Chris Olave. Olave is a really good athletic receiver for the Saints. So look for some of those guys in the later rounds.
Grant, last few minutes with you. Again, Thursday night, the beginning of the National Football League season. SoFi Stadium will raise its first Super Bowl banner from the Rams. So with that said, first game coming up, let's get some picks from you, Grant. Who do you like to win the Super Bowl? Who is your Super Bowl matchup? Most valuable player? Let's go through that first.
All right, yeah, I will be at the game tomorrow.
Nice.
So I'm going to be there pretty early. I'm going to be tailgating tomorrow, so it's going to be a really electric atmosphere. I'm really excited. But in terms of the Super Bowl pick right now, I have the Bills. I think the Bills are going to come out of the AFC, and I think the AFC championship will be Bills Chargers. I really believe in the Chargers. I know the Bengals are getting slept on a lot, but I really like the Chargers. If they put it all together, if they stay healthy, I really love that Chargers team. I think they can win that AFC West. I know it's the toughest division in football over the NFC West, in my opinion, but I do think the Chargers and the Bills will be in that AFC. And in the NFC, it's really tough because the Eagles are really being slept on right now. I do think that the Rams can get to the NFC Championship, and the Bucks are right up there. The NFC is kind of tough because, you have teams like the Eagles that you kind of got to see it on the field first. You have teams like the Buccaneers that I see Arash shaking his head, but I think that the Eagles offensive line, is really good. The Eagles offensive line is really good. Jalen Hurts can have a really good year, but I'd really see the Rams coming out of the NFC again. The Rams have like all the intangibles, in my opinion, to come out of the NFC. I think the only team that can compete with them, honestly, is the Niners and the Bucks. And it's just a question mark for me right now at the Niners. I don't know what the Niners are going to do. I believe in Trey Lance, but I don't know if they do. So I can't really put a mark on them to go so far until I see that on the field. And now Brandon's probably shaking his head down there, but
he normally would.
I do think that week one is probably our best look at a Super Bowl matchup, in my opinion. I just do. I think those are the two best teams in the NFL right now. And then MVP.
Yes,
I was gassing up Justin Herbert, but I think that Josh Allen and Justin Herbert are probably going to be the two MVP candidates this year. I think that those two are going to have electric years. I think they're going to have the best years of their career, and I think that either one's going to be a pretty good pick. Like I said, 1A, 1B. So it's going to be one of those two, in my opinion.
I mean, this is such a key, critical season for the Chargers if they are to kind of, have that fight for Los Angeles, which they've talked about for quite some time. Coming off the heels of the Rams winning a Super Bowl, if the Chargers can get to the Super Bowl, if Justin Herbert can be the most valuable player, then they're kind of in that conversation. And so we'll see how they do. I mean, they really have put together one of, if not the most talented teams on paper. We'll see how they do on the field. Grant, have a lot of fun at SoFi Stadium. It'll be an electric atmosphere there. That's all the time we have for today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Until then, this is Arash Markazi saying stay safe and stay healthy.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.